The Short Game is listener-supported on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and join us on our Discord, head to theshortgame.net or patreon.com/theshortgame.
Welcome back to The Short Game.
This is a show about short video games, games that respect your time, and this is our 400th episode.
Wow. Yeah.
We made it to that classic number you celebrate, 400.
Hey, I just like big round numbers. I like seeing those zeros. It makes me feel very accomplished to have done 400 of literally anything.
And never mind that this is technically like 425 episodes.
Don't worry about that.
Yes.
Never mind that last week we had to cheat episode, so it didn't become a 400th episode.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that yet. I was on my trip and I'm eager to see how you guys faked it. So this extra special episode would be episode 400, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't steal episode 400 while I was taking my kids to SeaWorld.
Mostly we just walked right past it and talked about Slice and Dice, so,
awesome.
We didn't have to do any magic.
But who are we, the people celebrating the 400th episode? Because we skipped that part of the intro.
Oh, we sure did. Hi, folks. I'm Reagan Kelly.
I'm Nate Heininger.
Laura Dash.
And I'm Shane Kelly.
And this week, we are doing something a little extra special, something we've never done before. We were talking about, well, how do we celebrate episode 400 of the show? We want to do something special. And, we thought about doing some of the little game-type episodes we've done before, but we have never done this. Laura, this is your idea. Tell us what we're doing this week.
We are doing a trivia round because it's not enough for me to host the IRL meetup of my work group this week, but I also needed to run trivia for you three. I have no idea how this is going to go. We've never done this before.
I barely ever do trivia. I've never really done trivia. Like, the whole concept of doing trivia, especially in public, recorded, where people are going to hear me.
Likely about our own shit, I'm assuming. We have no idea what
it terrifies me. I would forget my own name if you asked me it with a timer. Like, this is my nightmare, Laura, so thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I'm very excited.
Our listeners will love hearing you freak out, Reagan.
Yeah. I've been very excited about this while also terrified because I know Laura is active, like at all times, I think you are participating in 1 to 9 different trivia contests.
It doesn't mean I'm good at it. It just means I'm frequent at it.
So there, I guess we're saying there's a potential here that this ends up as a 3-way tie at 0. So,
in which case, it will go down in infamy as very bad trivia, which will be its own curse.
We're going to completely humiliate ourselves. I can't wait.
We're looking at quite a splash screen, though, here. Laura has put together a nice little 400th episode spectacular with our logo and everything. It's very nice. I think we're trying to make this video content as well, which we're pretty new to on the show. So we're going to be experimenting with that. So keep an eye on like our YouTube and other social media
Listeners will not be missing anything, but my husband did suggest we do a photo round, and I had to explain that I do a podcast.
Yes. And then he asked, what time does your podcast come on?
Yes. And then he said, wouldn't know, I don't listen to it. So we're doing great over here. Any other announcements before I start my reign of terror?
I will make one further announcement while we're busy celebrating the show. The 400th episode is this week, but in just 21 days, Laura, we're not going to make you do another round. We're going to consider these combined, but in 21 days is the 10-year anniversary of the podcast.
Wow.
10 years.
It's a lot of years. This is the... I can think of one other thing in my life that I've been committed to for 10 years, and that is my wife. everything else, 10 years ago, I think I fundamentally changed every part of my life from 10 years ago.
Yeah, and Nate, we know where your real loyalties lie.
Yeah. Yes. I would die for this show.
I mean, it's really something. Like, yeah, every single conceivable thing about my life has changed in the last 10 years. But here we are still doing this, and it's been a true rock for me. I mean, we're gonna save the misty-eyed navel gazing for the end of the podcast, I think. But thanks, guys. Thanks for hanging out with me for 10 years.
Always.
Reagan, when I met you 10 years ago, I didn't realize that we would be together so long, and I want to celebrate that.
Absolutely. All right, how do we kick this off, Laura? What do we do?
Well, round one is name that game, but with a twist. It's in our own words. So I have been running transcription auto software on a bunch of episodes. So this is going to be a game where we have bullet points of quotes from episodes, and y'all will buzz in to guess the name of what game we're describing.
So think about 10 years ago, transcription software did not exist in the form it exists in today. Now, when you open up a podcast app, there's a good chance that it can show you the words that the hosts are saying. That hasn't been true for very long at all. I used to really actually like and possibly even count on the fact that our musings on the podcast were somewhat ephemeral and in particular not easily searchable. And that may no longer be the case. So let's see what this actually leads to here.
Yes, this will be a little bit weird. But so basically, I'm going to show a series of quotes, and they're going to get easier. I'll go bullet by bullet, and as soon as you know, buzz in. But you only get one guess per game. Uh-oh. So it's up to you if you want to buzz in sooner and maybe take a risk. Or you want to wait, because there's going to be some gimme answers towards the bottom bullets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clear on the rules?
Is it going to tell us who said what?
I cannot tell you who said what. I can for some of them, but you can ask and I may be able to respond. But
do you want to explain how we're buzzing in?
Yes, we're just using an app to buzz in. So I will watch the buzzers come in and stop at the end of the sentence and do buzz order.
Listeners, depending on how this edit ends up going, you may or may not hear the buzzers. Laura may have to be our audio buzzer here. She'll just tell us who's buzzed in and when.
Maybe I'll make
maybe
a buzz
when
noise.
I hit the button that says buzz, I just go buzz.
You could also just say buzz, but the app is for tiebreakers and lags.
Use the app, guys. This is going to be very hotly competitive. We need to make sure this is on the level. We don't want any like internet lag.
Make noises, but also hit the button, because if you make a noise and don't hit the button, you didn't buzz.
All right. We'll do the mouth sounds for the audio, and we'll hit the button on the app.
Beautiful.
Do the mouth sounds. We've gotten so much better at using descriptive language.
As you're going to tell from these quotes. Great. So ready for the first one?
Go for it.
Ready?
Okay. It looks like a late 90s, early 2000s DVD menu.
Ooh.
I know this one.
Shane. I got it.
It's, Shane buzz first, and then Reagan. Sure. Shane goes first.
This one's Immortality.
It's Immortality. And Reagan is furious. Here are the other clues. This game was 26 gigabytes.
I totally would have gotten it from that, because I literally uninstalled that game today in order to save space.
I reordered it because it was too easy to have it be the first one. Uh-huh. My favorite sequence in the game's a late night talk show interview. And, you know, you wail into the camera, you brandish a knife against a painter of Mother Mary. And that is Immortality.
Wow.
And I will clear the buzzer.
What was the I thought it was that game where it's like the hacking the internet, like Pony Island or something like that.
Pony Island is also a game that could have been an early 2000s DVD menu at some point. Excellent. 1 point for Shane.
All right.
Next game. It's like children's television from the Soviet Union. The entire text of the novel Moby Dick is included. Reagan.
Tux and Fanny.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And that was Reagan, Shane, and Nate in the buzz order, but Reagan got it.
Tux and Fanny is incredible,
so
guys.
Good. Yeah.
Last two quotes are, it's a traditional feeling adventure game with many weird aspects, and Blobby, take a stick figure covered in clay. That's what they look like. And just in case everyone blanked on Tux and Fanny could not name it, they go on an epic adventure to reinflate a soccer ball together as friends. Wow. So,
damn.
Tux and Fanny.
Okay.
Next up, buzzer clear. When he says neon, you're probably thinking neon on black. Nope, this is neon on neon pink. Oh, and Queen Latifah is the narrator.
Oh.
Shane. Shane buzz first.
Okay. I hope I don't blank on this. I'm hearing the music in my head.
Oh, no, I'm going to count you down.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Someone else can buzz in behind him if you want.
The title is escaping me. This is what I told you was going to happen.
I didn't play it, but I can't think of the name either. We're so
oh,
bad.
God.
Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yes, you got it, Shane. Sayonara Wild Hearts.
My brain was saying Samogo Wildness, and I was like, that's not right.
Yeah. Reagan definitely said this one, which was, someone finally gave Carly Rae Jepsen a sword, but they also gave her a motorcycle, and she can fly. And this is a rad pop album video game was the giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
None of them actually would tell you the title, unfortunately.
No.
But good luck. Cool. And next one. You play an asshole. I'm quoting the developer on that. Lots of confused faces.
I buzz.
Okay, go.
I don't have the buzzer button up right now. I can't actually... Oh. Did you reset the buzzer?
I did not. Sorry. Trust system. Nate first. I'm going to say Nate because he hasn't gotten one yet.
Yeah.
Untitled Goose Game.
No.
No!
Fail!
The environment's candy colored, so you don't feel so guilty when you destroy people's lives.
Oh, damn it. I
think now Nate knows it.
I think so. But I've
cleared the buzzer, so y'all are free to use it. Let's open up the Trashpedia.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Buzz.
It's Reagan is first. Donut County.
Yes, Donut County.
That took me a while because I wasn't on that episode and I've only played the beginning of that game. I never finished it.
Next up is it's about LA and the gentrification and the raccoons invading the developer's apartment. And reverse Katamari is a hole the opposite of a ball.
What a good question. Is a hole an opposite of a ball?
We never answered that. Although we did go into like a 20-minute digression about apples on the immortality episode, FYI. Didn't pull any of those quotes. Not helpful. Okay.
That would have been the real challenge is pair the digression to the game.
Impossible. And I will clear the buzzers this time. Sorry for my bad etiquette. Fingers on buzzers. I somehow spent 27 minutes creating my character. Shane.
Is it Baldur's Gate 3?
It is not Baldur's Gate 3.
Shane.
Oh, well.
It took us way longer than 27 minutes to create a character in Baldur's Gate 3.
Next up. Long haul ice road paranormal ghost truckers.
This is still not narrowing it down for me. I'm not sure what this is.
That's, oh my God, that's the...
next one.
I know, that's...
I don't know how many houses you can fit on a cul-de-sac, but it is exactly 8.
I got, all right, Nate.
Nate.
Dream Daddies.
Dream Daddy. Oh,
yeah, he's on the board.
He's on the board. If it's sweat, eggplants, and hearts all at once, it means you did real good. And lastly,
what a good game, by the way.
Robert the Mysterious Knife Daddy.
There we go. What an incredible game. Let's do Dream Daddy again for
always Dream Daddy.
Well, I missed out on it the first time around, so it would be new to me.
Excellent. I'll clear the buzzers and score break. We've got Reagan and Shane tied at 2. Nate's got 1, so still anybody's game, and the buzzer will not clear.
Looks clear to me.
Okay, good. Now it is clear. Score break. Anybody's game. Round 2.
Reagan's cheating.
Absolutely.
He's been on more episodes than anybody.
No buzzers for this one. Everyone can chill.
Okay.
Come on down. You're the next contestants on How Long to Beat.
I love it.
Yeah. I made a logo for this for people who are listening in podcast form.
Laura.
I couldn't help myself.
I hope that in the episode the theme song is as crunchy as it came through in my headphones, too.
Just the worst possible version of the Price is Right theme song. How long to beat? We love it, but do we trust it? So this is going to be How Long to Beat with Price is Right rules.
Wonderful.
Couple caveats.
Okay.
We're using average times. So this gives you estimates down to the minute.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yep. Closest without going over wins. And if you get it exactly right, we'll double points.
All right.
Are we doing rate, like there's categories on How Long to Beat of like regular completionist or whatever?
We are, yep. So I'll be very specific, but it's always taking the average time for that score.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Reagan goes first in this round.
Oh, no.
How long does Celeste take to beat the main story? Remember, this is closest without going over, and minutes are involved.
Okay, so my my biggest issue with How Long to Beat is it's full of a bunch of speedrunning like keyboard heroes who are all better at games than me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to round way down on all of my guesses based on my own experience.
That's good. Price is Right guess.
Opening the strategy book to all of us. Thank you. Yes. Reagan.
So I'm going to say 6.5 hours.
Okay. 6 hours, 30 minutes.
Yes.
That's a good guess.
Nate, you are up next. How long does it take to beat Celeste?
A lifetime.
Yeah.
On How Long to Beat. Not how long main, have you played Celeste?
And main stories. So we're not counting seasides. We're not
no strawberry.
No.
Yeah. I think Reagan had a really solid guess. I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to say 5.5 hours.
5 hours, 30 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Shane, you're last up this round. What's your guess for Celeste?
7 hours and 31 minutes, Bob.
7 hours, 31 minutes. Leaving a gap between 6:30 and 7:31, everybody.
It didn't,
wild.
Didn't go cut there. It's going to be hilarious if it's
no one's cutthroat.
Yep.
Celeste takes 8 hours, 32 minutes. Wow. So Shane gets this one.
Yes. Shane gets the point.
As a point on the board for Shane.
I was perhaps overestimating the heroes on How Long to Beat.
Mm. Well, you'll get a chance on the next round, which is...
You got to share your speedrun strats with them, Reagan.
Hmm.
Shane's got to go first this time.
Okay.
How long does What Remains of Edith Finch take to beat? Completionist. Because there's only one route through that game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, Shane, you're up first.
Okay, so it's been so long since I played this game. I am going to say...
Nate, I see you looking down. I swear to God if you're looking this up on your phone.
That'd be so funny. Yeah, I'm cheating, Reagan. I'm cheating on our little...
Reagan has the... Surprise
on the camera,
the exact, Nate. Reagan is very careful.
He really wants this one. He's got to get those points up there.
Uh-huh.
I am going to say 2 hours and 30 minutes.
2 hours, 30.
I'm pretty sure I remember this one being a movie length.
Hmm. Interesting. Reagan, all right. How long was that movie?
I'm going to go with 2 hours and 31 minutes.
Oh, no. Cutthroat. That's wise in the lead, folks. Nate, what are you going to do? Are you going to do 232?
Laura, we're going to go ahead and lock in 2 hours and 32 minutes.
No! I've been a fool.
That's how you play the
Left
game.
The door wide open.
2 hours, 56 yes. minutes means no. Nate got
My
that
hubris.
Point.
You got it, Nate.
And that's only round two, folks. So the bar has been set pretty cutthroat early.
You leave that door open, I'm walking right through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Googling answers and I'm cutthroating every question.
We play dirty here at the short game.
Okay.
Nate, you're up first.
Wait, we didn't say what the game was.
I'm going to say it.
Oh, sorry.
How long does Hades take to beat? main story. Ooh, this is the game we did a full episode on.
Yes. This is such a, like, your mileage may vary type.
Mm-hmm. You know? Variability on this one is high.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the average.
So, main story, average. I'm going to say 11 and a half hours.
Okay. 11 hours, 30 minutes. Okay. Shane, you're up.
Okay, I did not complete Hades, but I know as a roguelike, it's got a lot of depth and takes a lot of time to complete, so I'm going to go a little higher and say 14 hours.
14 hours even. Okay, Reagan, you're last up.
I'm going to go with 9 hours and 45 minutes.
9 hours, 45 minutes. According to How Long to Beat, Hades takes 23 hours and 58 minutes.
God. So oh that my God, is really?
Shane.
The main story? I'm actually pretty surprised.
That's got to have changed since the last time I looked at it. I could swear it was lower than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, so to truly complete the main story, you have to beat Hades 10 times.
What?
And so if you are doing...
I was imagining like one successful full.
No, the main story, if you actually play it to completion, you have to fully defeat Hades 10 times.
Listeners, I do not know which number How Long to Beat considers the main story. I grabbed it off the internet.
Yeah, no, you're good. That's the main story when you actually get to and find Persephone and all that. Sorry,
got it.
Spoilers.
Oh, interesting.
I'm surprised it's that high even with that. But again, it's a totally your mileage may vary. I imagine it probably took some people a really long time to get there because it is challenging.
This game, classic this is short game territory.
It's a roguelike. This is why it could win game of the year because roguelike obsession for episodes, but not for winning. But we still love you, Hades.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hades 2. I'm so excited for Hades 2.
Wait, did they announce Hades 2? How did I miss this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the first time they're doing it. Yeah, it's the first time they're doing a sequel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah.
But when is Pyre 2?
I know, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah,
that's for me and you, Reagan. I think, you know, they do one for themselves and one for the studio. And Hades 2 is for the studio, but hopefully they do Pyre 2 for you and I.
For you and me.
For the lovers.
The number one fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Pyre boys.
Yeah.
That's what I call you. Okay. So, a notorious game. How long does Dr. Langoskov, the tiger, and the terribly cursed Emerald, a whirlwind heist take to beat main story? I will say, this is notorious for being one of the only episodes where the game was shorter than the episode. That's the only hint. I suggest y'all use minutes on this one.
Yes,
Reagan, you're up first.
I do not remember. I'm pretty sure this is a very, 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 very short game. I am going to say 12 minutes.
12 minutes. Okay. Nate, you're up next.
My initial thought, and I'm going to stick with it, was 15 minutes.
Okay. Shane, you're last.
I'm going to go with 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. The answer is 28 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
Why is that game so long?
Why is that game so long?
Point
for Nate.
Dang it.
Yeah, well, games are too long these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm always saying. That's why we're going to end on Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, no.
How long does Baldur's Gate 3 take to beat? Main story? Don't put this one in minutes. Please. I don't want to do the math. Shane, you're first.
Okay. I have not completed the game.
Same.
I've barely scratched Act 2.
I'm still in Act 1.
But Act 1 took me approximately 100 hours.
Cool.
No way.
I messed around a lot. I'm actually going to say this game probably takes about 80 hours.
80 hours. Cool.
Reagan? I will say 55 hours.
55 hours. And Nate?
81 hours.
81 hours. Shade is nodding sagely.
I'm pretty sure it's over 100.
Okay. The answer is 66 hours and 24 minutes.
No
so
way.
Reagan takes it.
No way.
So at the end of that round, Reagan has 3, Nate has 3, and Chain has 4.
Wow.
So okay. I'm feeling very proud of myself because I thought this might be incredibly uneven trivia. And right now it is anybody's game.
I'm feeling proud of us for getting answers correct.
Okay. Time
I wouldn't
to
call those correct. Just putting it.
Yeah, I guess there's
there.
All well, we could all been over on it and then no one gets a point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we are back to quick buzzer round. So get your phones and unlock those screens because we are going into the last round, which is lies. There's one more question. I forgot I included this. Don't get your phones ready. Wanted to include something from this year. Ooh. How long does 2024 Game of the Year Slay the Princess take to beat? And this is Nate. I forgot I added a question, so the rounds were even.
Well, they just they're releasing a new thing.
Yep, you're like gotten really excited. Preview the next round early. Amateur hour over here.
2 hours, 30 minutes.
2 hours, 30. Okay, Shane's next.
2 hours, 31.
31, baby. Reagan.
Here you go,
Rick. 2 hours and 32 minutes.
Yep.
No. Rude.
Well, 3 hours, 13 minutes.
I knew it. Wow. I knew it. You guys were way under.
Way under. Come on. Don't go way under.
So actually at the score break, folks, this is 4-4 Reagan and Shane, 3 for Nate. God. Still pretty even.
It's unfair. They have the same DNA. Mm-hmm.
They do.
Of course they have the same score.
It is unfair that they have the same DNA.
That's how really that great works. DNA.
Unfair to Reagan.
However, Nate, I don't know if you actually will have an advantage of this round, because this one is the short snippet, the music round.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
These all had full episodes, so I'm not pulling something that only showed up in a music episode. We had full episodes all on these. The way this will work is I'll play a very short, sometimes extremely short audio clip. I'll probably play the whole thing because I liked those snippets of songs, and I will go off buzz order. So as soon as you know it, buzz in.
Okay.
But is I will this, not ask for answers till the end of the clip.
Is this if we guess wrong, we're out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And honor system, so if like you're playing and you came up with like, don't buzz in until you know the game. don't just buzz in first to be cool. I will be, if you pause on answering, I will be strict.
Wow.
Cool?
Dropping the hammer.
I will drop the hammer. Uh-huh. Okay. Song one. Oh, Nate has already buzzed in. Shane, then Reagan, but let's dance. Nate, what's this from?
It's Katamari Damacy.
That's Katamari Damacy,
maybe
baby.
The single greatest.
That was easy mode. I would know that game from like any tiny snippet
that drum
of any song on the soundtrack.
I had to start with a banger that everyone knew.
I'm glad you
knew.
Put it there. It's maybe the greatest song in video game history.
The Katamari Damacy soundtrack is my record collecting white whale. I saved an eBay search for this vinyl years ago, I think before we covered it, and at that time, the record cost $40, and I was like, well, that's a little expensive. I'll see if I can wait for a deal. It now regularly sells for over $500.
Yeah, that checks out.
Damn. We need the limited run people to do a re-release of it.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay. Next up is, that was Katamari on the Rocks. Song two. Ready? Go. Nate has already buzzed.
Nate.
I will play the rest of the clip after Nate says it.
It's Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Crypt of the Necrodancer. Dance party.
It's incredible.
And that's the King Conga Kappa.
Danny Baranowski, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Excellent. Okay, moving right along. Song 3. Go. Looks of fear on everyone's faces.
No. Oh, I got it.
Nate has buzzed in.
I still don't have it.
Outer Wilds.
Outer Wilds.
Oh, yeah. Laura,
this is the Nate wins round.
I've actively listened to all of this all of the time. We have the Outer Wilds record, and I listen to the soundtrack all the time. And same with Crypt of the Necrodancer, and same with Katamari. I like actively listen to these frequently.
This is not trying to favor Nate, but.
You knew it would, though.
any music crowd would, but I had to do it. Like, legally, yes. I was obligated.
Yeah, obligated. This is perfect. I love it. Yeah.
Yes. And that's, of course, the song at the end of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, song 4. Fingers on buzzers. Jane has buzzed in first. We let it dance.
That is a sound from Streets of Rage 4.
Nice.
That is their back from Streets of Rage 4.
That game.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God. I want to play it again soon.
I should play that again. It's been a while.
Excellent. Okay. Song number 5. That's it. That's Nate. That's the whole clip, and that's Nate.
Undertale.
Yes. I was positive Reagan was going to get that.
I would have gotten it if I'd had another second, but I can't.
The entire song is this.
Yeah, it's so good.
You picked a good clip.
I thought it was so recognizable.
Yeah.
Alas. Okay.
It's just not my round, but I'll get back.
Spear of Justice.
I'll catch up.
We're going to do CRT.
Unfortunately, this is the last round. Maybe I'll make up half points. I don't know. Nate still will win, but it's a good time. Song 6. Oh, whoa. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Just got spoiled, but we can listen to the song anyway.
I was looking down at the buzzer.
Well, then I'll buzz in.
Yeah, y'all did buzz in.
Okay, I don't know it.
Shane did buzz in first, and I think he honestly would have got it.
No, I buzzed in first.
Oh, you're right. Reagan buzzed in first.
And I'll say it's Tetris Effect.
No,
but
Tetris
I only
effect.
Know that because Laura accidentally clicked and showed it on screen.
Shane would have known this one.
But I claimed
that's
the point
no
anyway.
Points.
I wouldn't have. I didn't know that one.
I'm not proud.
And
I'll
I didn't.
Take the
I
point.
Was, I had my head down, eyes closed, looking down, like directing the buzzer.
Yeah. So for those not watching it, I advanced the slide rather than playing the clip, so everyone got the answer. Yeah. So no points for 6. Sorry, Shane, that was your gimme. Well, Streets of Rage is also a good one for you. Mm-hmm. Connected. I will not do that this round. Song 7.
God damn it, what
faces.
Is this?
Nate has buzzed in. Yep, Nate, you were going to say it.
No, I was going to get it wrong, so I'm going to defer. Cause
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I keep messing up the slides advance. Tactical difficulties.
I think this is Shane's point, because I was too slow on the buzz.
This is Shane's point.
It will say it.
That one was pretty easy to call as soon as the lyrics came in. This one is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Shredder's Revenge, We Had Come to Lose. And I will actually play the song. Now for everybody to actually hear the thing, it's a good clip.
Nice to meet you, now I'm here to beat feature with full force. Mess up your facial features. Hasta la vista, I'm selling all your little Caesars. All y'all stuff your face with is pizza, pizza crack.
The pizza pizza was in case y'all did not get that.
It would have taken me to pizza pizza.
I was going in a different direction, and then the rapping started, and then you put it on the screen, so I don't want to cheat. I definitely was going to get it wrong.
Yeah.
So it was.
Shay knows this song, rap. I know. Yeah.
I remember sitting listening to this one right on the episode.
Yeah. So I will be very careful this time to not do that a third time. Here is song 8. Reagan is buzzed in after Shane, and then Nate. So,
easy peasy, guys. This one is Ape Out.
Ape Out!
Nice for Shane. Yes. It's a great game.
Ape Out is a beautiful game.
It's a game that, like, I feel like we all absolutely loved, and it got a lot of love when it came out, and then I've not heard anything about Ape Out ever since.
I mean, you know, it had its moment. I think I think it was certainly well received. I hope it did well for the developer, but I don't know what he's up to now.
Should find out.
Need Ape Out again. Another ape.
Yeah.
Another ape.
Ape in.
That song, in quotes, was level 1.
Nice.
Okay, song 9. No buzzes yet.
Got it.
You got a buzz, Reagan. You did. Reagan buzzed first, then Shane. Reagan, what is this?
I'm going to fuck up the title. This is the NecroDancer meets Zelda game that the title of which is escaping me.
Mm.
Does that count?
Mm. Well, Shane, can you name it?
It is...
Shane can't name it.
No,
in
I can't
five,
give the exact name of the game.
4, 3, 2, 1. Point goes to Reagan for Cadence of Hyrule.
Cadence of Hyrule. Jeez. Thank you, Laura. I'm glad I got that point, which I was richly deserved, despite the fact that I could not remember the title of the game.
That's okay.
Let's walk it back a little bit. I don't know about richly deserved.
All of us except Nate have embarrassed himself this round. Me not hitting the button correctly multiple times.
I haven't gotten one in like 4 in a row, though. So I had the first half. Was strong, but...
Yes. Okay, clearing the buzzer. And the last song, the last question in our game, song 10. This is going to be a fast one, so get your fingers on those buzzers. Damn it! Spoiled! I swear, you can see me click on the button. I am angry. I'm angry at Google Slides. Everybody could tie on that one.
Yes, that one we'll just let that one go.
These were fantastic.
What a cool song, though.
Clues, Laura.
They were great clues and Google Slides. People watching this video, people listening can't see me very carefully put it right on the button and press, and then Google advances the slides.
Yes. I was listening to that one the other day too. It's such a delightful little song.
Yes. So that is still alive. So after that mess of a tactical round, folks, this is actually a tie between Nate and Shane. Because
what?
Nate got 4 and Shane got 3 that round.
Oh, so
we end up with 5-7-7.
Nice.
And there were 2 questions that messed up, so.
Don't call it a comeback. Nice.
Quite a comeback. Feel free to give your victory speeches.
All right, now, are you guys going to fist fight for the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, I had a tiebreaker question. Okay. Y'all, congratulate yourselves while I pull up the tiebreaker question.
Shane, I think, what was the jousting game that was like one of our... Nidhogg. I think we need to settle this over Nidhogg.
Totally.
We'll go way back in our 10-year history when me and you had plugged... we were at Reagan's apartment here in St. Louis, and we had like daisy chained like 9 things together to play multiplayer Towerfall on his TV and also Nidhogg. Reagan, mm-hmm. Do you even remember this? You look very
I do
perplexed.
Vividly.
Okay. Because we were playing it off of the Stadia or something like that. What was it?
No, it was like my old laptop running like dual booted into Windows, plugged into the TV with a bunch of USB controllers plugged in to a hub. It was a pretty janky setup, but it did work for Towerfall.
Yeah,
we didn't have the Ouya version, for example.
I think that's what I was trying to think of. Ouya, and then we played some Nidhogg as well.
Excellent. So, I have a very self-serving question, and that is, how many episodes did I guest on before I became a co-host? closest.
Do we want to go closest? Okay. Nate, do you want to go first?
Strategically, no. But I think
we can count and have folks.
I'm
hand
pretty
up.
Sure I know the answer, but this being a tiebreaker between Nate and Shane,
I'm
going to
guess.
Silent.
I'll go first, Shane.
Okay, and then I'd like to hear Reagan guess after. But Nate, and Shane need to answer first. You can also just hold up your fingers and then say them if y'all are worried about advantages. That's a hint. That's less than 10.
Yeah, I'm going to say 4.
Okay.
I was going to say 4.
Okay. Reagan, what were you going to say?
I will say instead.
Reagan was going to say 3.
Okay. Oh, Reagan, you're. All right. So I think it's 3.
What? Okay.
All right.
Y'all joked about it on the 5th. And then I actually became a co-host on the 6th. So let's say no one, like.
Wait, closest without going over.
Closest without going over is
Nate.
That's
you, Nate.
He did it, folks.
Nate is the champion of the podcast. Nate won the first 400 episodes.
I'll see you again in 400.
Oh, yes. 400 episodes. No, that's just making fun. You teased me multiple episodes, and at some point you're like, you're actually a co-host.
Was it really? It was. That's crazy.
I officially became one on 80 days, but I was pretty solidly on a bunch of episodes. And then at some point I'm like, am I just a co-host?
The idea that the podcast could even exist without you is laughable at this point.
Right.
Absolutely. This is why I put
together this elaborate.
Well, that was also, I think that was the realization from me, Shane, and Reagan too, is we were just like, I think we need Laura on this show for this to work.
I officially became it on Game of the Year. So to go back, I was on, Dark Room Game of the Year. And that got me to...
nice.
That was when I was like, well, she's on the Game of the Year. Let's just turn it into full. Yeah. So very self-serving.
I guarantee you we would not have made it to even 50 episodes without you, Laura. Thank you. Yeah.
And I wish I'd come up with a better tiebreaker question because I thought about that, said, this makes me sound like very vain. And then I was like, well, we won't need a tiebreaker.
No, and you've been hosting the whole time. So thank you for the work that you put
in. I actually would like to know
together.
So Reagan has obviously been on the most episodes because he tends to organize, record, and edit the show. Except for lately, that's true. We're trying to share it a little more evenly here 10 years on. but which of us has been, apart from him, on the most episodes? I'm sure we don't actually have the numbers for that, but I'm curious.
I don't have that.
My guess would be, Shane, you are second.
I don't know about that because I actually tend to miss a lot of episodes compared to you guys. At least that's my perception of it. Like I think I tend to skip roughly an episode a month.
Yeah.
My vibe is that it's pretty even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. We've all missed for big bits. I mean, even except for Reagan.
Well, here's to 400, and I hope we do 400 more.
Yeah. I think the show is as good as it's ever been. And thank you, Laura, again.
It has been really... I've been feeling good about the show lately. We've had our ups and downs over 10 years. We had periods where we were a little more inconsistent with releases, and we've had periods where we, weird stuff came up, but like I feel like we've been really killing it lately. Not to totally toot my own horn, but like yeah.
Hell yeah.
I've been happy with the show lately.
I mean, if I had thought 10 years ago that we would not only would we still be doing this, but that we would have over 2.1 million listeners per episode. Yes.
That's the real stat that I was just too humble to say.
It's pretty crazy that I retired from work a couple years ago to focus solely on this podcast. You know, it's been really nice. And, you know, we're all recording by our pools right now.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's amazing that like sponsors and so on have been beating down our door order to not appear on the episode. Just for vibes. They just give us the money for the vibes.
They just want us to know that they see us.
Yeah, it's a hard life.
To be a little real with you guys, the fact that we have a Patreon and there are people that like listening to us talk about video games enough that they help pay for us to talk about video games and play them and so on, it does kind of blow my mind, and I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very happy with not just the friendship that I have with you guys, but the community that we have with our listeners. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, 100%.
I know, like, when I do the bit at the end of the episode where I'm like, thank you, patrons, etc., it can sound a little bit like blowing smoke and like, hey, give me money, pledge drive stuff. But, like, I really mean it. Like, it's been an enormous part of the reason this show has been working well over the last few years is having that community. Like, man, when we're, like, hard up for, like, what to do next, the homeboys and girls on the Discord have been really, really helpful. And
when we have bad ideas, like let's cover Baldur's Gate 3, they set us straight.
Which is funny because we didn't get any shit for Zelda. And I think it's just because, you know, it's like, well, Zelda, everyone will do that. But Baldur's Gate, now that was a line.
I got absolutely destroyed for that. People were angry at me.
Well, we spent so having been doing this for 10 years and in some ways really before a lot of the podcast market as we know it today, you know, I think I speak for all of us. For a long time, it really felt like we were just talking to each other and putting it out there and sending it to no one, right?
Yeah.
And we know there were listeners, and we know, especially because of the Discord and the Patreon, that there have been people who have been with us for the majority of the life of this show. But at least before we were able to start to build this little community, it certainly felt like we were just putting it out into nowhere. And so actually having sort of the response back from our listeners and from the people in the Discord, it really does give you I find it motivating and also surprising every single time someone subscribes. deeply appreciative. We had someone who relatively recently subscribed and said they listened to our entire back catalog, which is frankly a little unlikely. Terrifying. Yeah. I mean, but I don't know. I've done that with shows where you're just like, oh, I'm going to listen to all of this. But I also, like, I never would think anyone would do that for us. And I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, honestly, like, this show is like my favorite thing I do every week. I have so much fun doing it. I have so much fun preparing for it and talking with you guys about games and I mean, obviously playing games, but like,
I love winning trivia contests. I'm never gonna let you guys. I was certain I was gonna get zero on this, and the fact that I won, it feels like really like maybe the greatest moment of my life. So,
well, you tied, and then it was a questionable thing with questionable data because I'm not 100% sure on that answer. But like, sure.
No, I let the man gloat.
Yes. You can gloat. The listener's probably gonna be like, actually, you first got introduced three episodes in and Nate did not win.
We don't have
I'm
that
gonna feel
type
very
of
bad. But
a lot of podcasts complain about their listeners and the feedback that they get. They rightfully complain to Reagan about Baldur's Gate 3, and that I will stand with them. Other than that, we receive virtually nothing but pleasantries from our listeners. Yeah. Except for the one person who left us a 1-star review for not doing an all kill run of Undertale back when we covered Undertale.
Oh my God.
And that one person is the one that has always stuck out to me as like, that's the one thing that we've got like real negative response to because we didn't want to kill Papyrus and all of our best friends.
Man, you know, it's true. Like we've gotten so little toxic or negative feedback. Like, I think part of it is just, you know, we operate at a smaller scale, so we're less of a target. But also, like, you know, we've just generally got good vibes with our community. I think I could really only think of like one time when I ever got feedback that was just like straight up toxic. Somebody decide, I forget it. I think it was after our Night in the Woods episode, and they, you know, somebody wrote in and told me that they couldn't believe that I was, I mean, the words weren't there back then, but they were basically saying, I can't believe you're ruining video games with woke, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
barely get that somehow.
Really? Like, there's like one time and like, it's memorable because like we have so little of that, and I count ourselves really lucky for that. Like we get a lot of feedback from listeners, mostly incredibly positive and supportive. And when they give us shit, like when we covered Baldur's Gate 3, it's actually very funny. It's been really wonderful.
Because single one of our listeners is simultaneously the smartest, sexiest person on earth.
So, oh yes. Yeah.
Each and one of you listening right now.
A 2.1 million way tie.
Well, thank you again, Laura, and thank you to all of our listeners. Like, it's incredible that we're here. 10 more
Happy
years.
400.
Reagan. 10 more 400 years.
100 episodes. 10 years, my guys.
Eat now I have to come up with something for our 10th anniversary. Yeah. That was my one idea.
Oh, we're going to do
21 days.
We're doing Dream Daddy again.
You know, listeners, I would like your feedback. Is there something you'd like us? I don't know how we'll ever top our episode 400 spectacular here.
Maybe we'll do a music round with no errors.
But if you have something you'd like for us to do on our 10-year episode, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with just, you know, let's play
chilling
games and do our normal thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe there's some particular topic or discussion that you'd like to hear from us.
Or if there's I think we've discussed sometimes with these big anniversary episodes doing like a landmark game that we've missed. Yeah. So if you can think of like a huge game that we have somehow never done on the show that is worthy of like additional spotlight more so than any other episode that we do, let us know, because I think that might be a good way to go about it too.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Sometimes we get those sort of feedbacks of like, hey, have you guys ever done X? And it's like, you know, some landmark indie game that we've never touched. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a reason for that. You know, one or the other of us bounced off the game. But like, even if that's the case, like I'm game to give it another try. But it's also possible that like your favorite indie game that is, you know, exactly 6.5 hours or something like that would be perfect for the show. And we just didn't cover it because maybe something else shiny came out that month or something, and we never got to it. And so, yeah, if there's a thing that you can't believe we didn't cover, let us know. That'd be a great 10-year thing for us to do.
Perfect.
Well, you know, I don't want to leave the listeners unsatisfied. I know we're close to our hour, but maybe we've got an extra couple of minutes here at the end for what's making us happy this 10 years.
Oh, not just this week.
I mean, you could do this week. Sure, that's fine.
I mean, 10 years is a long time to be happy. If we take that big span of time, I'd have to be like my marriage or something.
My company is, my branch of the federal government is celebrating 10 years, and everyone keeps being like, 10 years is such a long time. And I'm like, my podcast has been around for 10 years.
Yeah, whatever. We've been podcasting. Yeah. All right, I'll stick in the now. I've got one that's making me happy. So Molly and I are forever in search of good couch co-op experiences. And, you know, there's a ton out there. We've done some on the show. And we found some list. I forget where it came from, but it was a bunch of couch co-op games that I had never heard of. And we kind of picked one randomly. And it's been a lot of fun. It's called Death Squared. It is a couch co-op puzzle game. And each of you play as a cube on a sort of isometric grid level, where each cube very simply has to get to a part of the map, part of the grid that matches their color. So like I'm red, she's blue. We have to get our cube to the red one to the red button, the blue one to the blue button. But there is a, you know, that's where the puzzle element comes in. It's isometric, it's 3D. There's a lot of switches, a lot of knobs, a lot of like, you go hold this thing so I can go through this gap so that I can go over here and then I'll stand on you and stuff like that. But also the space that you're working on is like a floating island and you're kind of wobbly and it's really easy to fall off, which is hilarious because when you fall off, you explode. And then most of the puzzles revolve around stuff that if you even very lightly tap, you explode. And so it has a not the chaotic vibe of something like an Overcooked, but the hilarity side of two people often trying to do something very intricate and failure is catastrophic, you know, where you like you literally explode and you have to start over. And it's, you know, it's really, really funny and really fun. And it's pretty good puzzles and we've really been enjoying it. The other thing I'll say about it too is that like surprisingly and frankly unnecessarily, but like I like that they went for it. The game has this big rap story around the whole thing where there's a character and like the story of the game is that they are testing out AI models and you're the AI models and they're talking to a robot. This came out in like 2018 too, so way before the current discourse around AI. And the person who's testing it is talking to a robot. And I would say it is in the same realm of comedy as something like a Stanley Parable or like Portal. It's very self-aware. It's very self. It's making fun of itself. It's making fun of these sorts of things. I would say it's about 50% as funny as those games. It's not nearly on the level of that. But I think anything that's just even operating in that space is usually kind of funny to me. And so it wasn't. A lot of it is a little stupid or whatever. But the fact that they decided to add this whole layer of comedy onto a pretty fun little puzzle game, you know, I think it works. And it's, if you're like me and you're always looking for another good couch co-op game, I think check it out. It's been a lot of fun. I've thought about doing it for the show, but I know it's harder for us as a group to like really do like full couch co-op games. But if any of you check it out, it might be worth doing an episode on at some point.
I would love for us to spend a little more time on couch co-op games. It's such a special and valuable genre that in some ways feels to me like it's kind of withering on the vine these days. There are games coming out all the time that are specifically couch co-op games, but they're so often these little tiny slight experiences that
or they're like the big things like It Takes Two and stuff like that,
or even like a Mario
or it's not even actual Mario, it's just like a multiplayer game mode, but this is like Portal 2 the multiplayer too, where like it's not two people doing a one player puzzle, it is a two player puzzle. It takes, you know, one person's actions are very different than another person's actions in order to accomplish the puzzle. And it's very satisfying.
That's awesome. My what's making me happy this week is a little more just sort of life stuff. But, you know, folks have probably noticed I've been off of quite a number of episodes over the last little while. My family had a lot of various illnesses, some more serious than others. Just a lot of missed weeks due to, you know, life stuff. But this most recent missed episode for Reagan was actually for a much funner reason. I just took my kids on a little trip to San Antonio where we went to SeaWorld. which I hadn't been to probably since I was like 13 or something. And first of all, like, don't flame me. I've seen Blackfish. I know, like, all of that. but like, your options are limited in, you know, when you live in Houston and you're thinking about a, like, you know, anything I would road trip to take my kids to is going to be like, you know, San Antonio is 3 hours away, but like anything, like New Orleans is like a 6 hour drive. Anything more fun or interesting is going to be like 8 hours, like impossible. But SeaWorld is actually really kind of great and on the level for like very young kids, because, you know, see a dolphin show, go through some aquariums, but also there's playgrounds and splash pads, and there's a whole Sesame Street section where you can, you know, your kids can meet Elmo and ride on rides with the like googly eyes all over it and stuff. And it was just like a really great time. Like, I had a wonderful time. All three of my kids seemed to enjoy it. And I'm thinking now, like, man, like almost 10 years ago when we started sticking, I don't even know when we started sticking What's Making Us Happy on the ends of episodes, but it's certainly been more than five, very, very long time now. Thinking back, like, then what I, you know, talking about, oh, I had so much fun taking my kids to see Shamu, like thinking that would be my what's making me happy this week is a little weird, but hey, here it is.
Come a long way.
I had a really great time. And so I guess I'm just really happy that this time I missed for a fun reason and not because I was sick or miserable. So things are looking up. And thank you so much, guys, for stepping up. I've really, really loved the episodes that I've listened to that I haven't been on, which is a rare joy for me. I love this podcast. When I'm not on it, it's like my favorite show. So it's been wonderful. So and I've got one more. I haven't heard the Slice and Dice episode yet, so I'm really looking forward to listening to that. So thank you, guys, for keeping the show running while I haven't been able to, and thank you to Shamu for enduring your miserable captivity for the benefit of my children.
Man, our lives are completely recorded on this podcast. When I was doing the transcriptions, I found out that, weirdly, the Firewatch episode opens with Reagan saying, "I got engaged," and then we have to hard turn into how that game begins.
Oh, no.
And it is a rough transition, folks.
That's so funny.
You all came to my wedding, and we went to Laura's wedding. So, like, we've been together doing this long enough. All of us were unwed when we started this show. Except for Shane, you might have been married already. Were you already married? I don't remember.
I was going to say, I think we were the really only two people who got married on the podcast. I think
that's not, I don't know. I'm not going to work out the timeline right now.
I think Reagan and Shaper married before.
Well, but if Shane, but if Reagan announced he was engaged married on the show.
You announced I was engaged.
Okay. I thought you were saying I announced, because I.
No. You announced I was engaged.
Okay.
On the beginning of the Firewatch episode. Yeah.
Okay. That makes much more sense. Sorry, I misunderstood you.
I thought you.
We were all overjoyed to hear that at the time, Laura, and you had such a lovely wedding. And I think that's literally the last time all four of us have been in one place, which is still miserable. Like,
short con.
We keep saying that.
We've been the 10th anniversary.
It's harder every year because we have more and more babies and other problems.
No more.
I'm already did my part. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of which, I've been watching a ton of movies because I don't have any children. That's what's making me happy.
Well, trick though, I also watch a ton of movies because I have children, but they're all bad. So.
Oh, no. I have watched a ton of movies from 2023 that I missed because I usually watch a lot of old movies. A lot of them are the ones you would have heard of, but I will say the one that punched weirdly way above its weight class is Blackberry.
Really?
Shocked.
I almost watched
shocked
that
how much
the
I liked
day.
The movie Blackberry.
I really want to watch that movie. It looks so good.
It was good. Like, it was really good. Like, Justin has it as his fourth best picture of the year. He's seen 25 movies. Like, it's good.
I thought it was just like a business drama about mediocre phones, though. What is the pitch for, like,
you
the
watch
story
that?
Of
Doesn't
Blackberry?
That sound amazing?
Well, it does sound amazing. So there's a couple of things going on. One is it's a business man who's a jerk and a tech guy who has no game but really knows his stuff. Like, oh, when they pair together, they're actually better than the sum of their parts. They need each other. But it's also about the innovator's dilemma of, like, your company is going well. Now you have to make it a business, and that hurts your friends. And also now the iPhone is coming out, and you're like, but it doesn't have a keyboard. Like, all he does is look at the iPhone and say, it doesn't have a keyboard. And
that's all anyone, like, did. I remember those days distinctly.
Uh-huh.
It's
about panic, and it's about making bad decisions that have huge repercussions. And it feels very Shakespearean. Hmm. All the wigs are bad. I know Glenn, like, I know that there's real hair involved, but somehow they all look like bad wigs. Like, people shave their head for this movie and it looks like a bad wig. Hairs.
Yeah.
So it does make it look like, if you looked at a shot, but it goes so much harder than it had to. Hmm. So, plenty of other movies I've enjoyed. That's just one that probably fell off your radar because you thought it was going to be a Lifetime movie. Shane, how about you?
I really want to share something with you guys, but I might have to add a little edit to the show here because I need to run downstairs and get it.
All right.
And this is going to be visual, so it might not be perfect podcasting. So sorry to our listeners.
We'll do a fade.
Go, 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 go.
Finally, we're rid of him.
Hmm.
Now the true podcast can begin.
Hate to see him leave, but I love to watch him walk away.
Yeah. So Justin's top four movies of the year are Asteroid City, Perfect Days, Killers of the Flower Moon, and then Blackberry.
Blackberry. I almost watched that on a plane last week because I was like, this seems like the ideal plane movie. Instead, I watched A League of Their Own, and that was awesome.
It's a perfect movie.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Justin has never seen it.
Oh, it's
and
good.
He just told me this, and I was like, oh, you told me this while we're out of the house, so I can't force you to watch League of Their Own right now.
It is, like, the only thing that doesn't hold up is Tom Hanks, I don't think, actually knows how to play drunk. But once he's not just drunk, he's as good as ever. But everybody else is fantastic.
Do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do.
So video you guys editing. Might remember that one thing I really love,
Magic the Gathering.
Thank you. Yes. To go back and find specifically children's books that are about early technology. Because I personally remember being introduced to tech, you know, at a young age.
Electronic mail.
Mm-hmm. I remember being in a amphitheater and having some guy try to explain what a browser was to us. And some asked, hey, kids, do you know what a browser is? And some kid said, a gorilla is a browser. Well, I think at one point on the show, I did show you guys my first favorite here, which is this Scholastic book that's just titled Internet,
a classic,
and features a child surfing the information superhighway, standing on a keyboard as if it's a surfboard. Well, I have a new book that I have found that I absolutely love, and you will not believe it when you see it. This is Inside the Personal Computer. It is a pop-up book. Okay. So when you open the first page of Inside the Personal Computer, this is what you see.
Oh my gosh.
A beautiful rendition of something that looks pretty much like a genericized Apple II. And you can
looks
see
much more like
that
an IBM
personal computer
PC to me.
Yeah, maybe.
God damn it.
From all angles, you know, you can see the power cord.
This is the most Kelly Brothers moment of all time.
This book was published in 1984, and it's an introduction for kids to all of the parts inside of a personal computer, you know, including disks and RAM. And I'm going to turn the page a couple of times
here. Where was this book in AP Computer Science?
Because I want to... here's the inside of the personal computer with these beautiful embossed RAM and CPU chips that you can touch. There's a little chip that you can remove from the page and tuck it back into
its
this
is such a beautiful
input-output port.
Yeah. And this only costs Shane $475.
This is the one that I think Reagan will really like. This... is a cathode ray tube.
Mm.
And look what happens when you pull the tab. It scans, the scan line goes across the cathode ray tube.
Oh, that's so cute.
No.
Yeah. And so there's not a whole lot of pages to this book, but the pages that there are some of really top quality pop-out book material, like very three-dimensional, very interactive. I'm kind of eyeballing this particular micro genre of books now on the internet, because to me, one of the wonderful things about growing up at the same time as computers is at most points in that evolution, I have been able to look at computers and what they're doing and kind of see the path from where we were to where we are. And then to look back at something like this, a book for kids that shows what computers were like around when I was born, and then to think about how they work now and, you know, doing all this. This has been the year of AI, and it feels like science fiction. It's really nice to go back and look at the simplicity where it really started, especially in the form of a funny little pop-up book. So, yeah, that's my making me happy for the week. I hope that gets visually through to the listeners. You'll have to Google it if you're just hearing my words. Google Inside the Personal Computer, an illustrated introduction in three dimension.
That's so cool, Shane.
It's incredible.
That's so cool. I love that kind of thing. I've talked about it on the show before, but I have a similar,
but it has Garfield.
Right.
On it,
right? I have a similar collection where I collect merchandise from the late 70s through the 80s of Garfield using a personal computer, which there is a surprising amount, and I have a lot of little
you always count on a Kelly brother to have an odd collection.
As I say, and, Nate, what are we doing?
I don't know. I like to think that we've got, you know, I thought I had things figured out, but then I see these two guys and there's another layer that I haven't figured out just yet.
I've got only one miniature alarm clock from the Soviet Union.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute, Laura.
And I want to own like 70. If you look at my Etsy.
You only have one miniature clock from the Soviet Union?
I do. It's so little. And it works. Yes, I only have one miniature clock from the Soviet Union, and I want all of them.
I need a bizarre collection. I've got nothing. I've got stuff Reagan has sent me. My Miu Mini. That's about it.
Yes.
Got cats. I've got three cats now. I'm collecting.
That's more than I have Soviet alarm clocks.
Yikes. So,
I think this episode is pretty much.
I think we gotta get out of here.
I think we got it. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me on the internet for 10 damn years. It's been a thing. I really love all of you guys. And I love the show, and I love our listeners. I love all of those things slightly differently, but I specifically love you guys so much. Thank you. And listeners, you can find our show on the internet at shortgame.fm. That's the website where you can find all the links and buttons and such, including links to our Patreon. We've talked up the awesome listeners and patrons of this show many times throughout this episode, but if you'd like to become one of our treasured patrons, you can do that either at shortgame.fm or patreon.com/theshortgame. Every one of our patrons gets access to our Discord community, which is the best place on the internet. And you can also get early access to episodes, a dubious honor, because our episodes are usually only available a day or two early, but sometimes that is a nice thing to have. If you would like our episodes a little bit early, you can have that too. And also you just get our love and affection. Let's see, you can find our show. Oh, I already said that. See, I've been doing this for 10 years. You see, I've gotten really good at these outros. And you can find all of our socials on shortgame.fm as well. You can find links to us on the various platforms that we're on. I've been doing a lot of Blue Sky lately. You can find the show there and on Mastodon and all the other places. Links at shortgame.fm. I've been Reagan Kelly.
I'm Nate Heininger.
Laura Dash.
And Shane Kelly.
And thank you once again for joining us for the last 10 years of The Short Game.
Boom. Yeah.